I don't recommend movies too much, but Barbara and I this week saw a movie that I would think you would like if you would want to have a good time with your spouse or somebody just sitting, and it's called Infinity. So it's about 100 years ago, a mathematician who discovered some formulas, and it's quite interesting. Won't give it away. But it reminded me of a story that I want to tell you, and some of you probably heard the story before. And when someone asked, what is 1 + 1? You know that one, right? Three people were asked. First person was not a very good student. He barely passed, algebra. He says, I think it's 2, but I could be wrong. Second person was a teacher, a math teacher, and she said, you know what? 1 + 1 = 2, which is the lowest even common denominator, square root of 4, and 2 can be, and on and on and on. And then, of course, the third person they asked was an accountant. And he looked at him and says, what do you want it to be? Sorry about that if you're an accountant here. It's not my story, I just read about it. Which leads me to the book of Galatians, as we delve into it. You know, today, that's what a lot of people say or ask. What is the gospel? What do you want it to be? Right? What does God say about it? What do you want it to say? What is the church about? What do you want it to be about? Very relative, you know. We can make it whatever you want it to be. You want to come to a church where it is just a social institution, we can do that. We have plenty of them like that. You want a church that has no judgment at all, none at all, no rules, we can do that. Or you want one that's really severe about certain things, you know, how you dress, we can do that too. What do you want it to be? Interesting, the passage that we have read here, and also a few verses earlier that we read last week, I want you to know something about what Paul says concerning that kind of practice. That kind of conversation. He says, if anybody comes, if it's me, if it's an angel, whatever it is, that comes and present a gospel that's not of God, let him be anathema. Let him be cursed. Use it 2 times. You don't say curses upon people 2 times in 1-2 paragraphs, you know, unless you're really serious. So I want you guys to understand that the gospel message is what God has told us. Nothing that we can make up and nothing we will make up. It is about the Son of God, Jesus Christ, who came and became a man. And this is the gospel message. You have to state it that. You can't just say it's the love of Jesus Christ, all right? You can't just say it's something that God has given. You got to state what it is. And that is Jesus Christ, Son of God, becoming a man, dying on the cross of Calvary, paying for my sins, all of it, buried 3 days later, resurrecting, proving that he can. And whoever believes in him, repent of their sins, come and call upon the name of Jesus Christ, ask him to be Lord and Savior, he will be saved. That's the gospel message. If anybody brings another one and says, oh, you don't have to do that, it's anathema. Just keep that in mind. Today, we're talking about Paul now a little bit. And interesting, Paul describes himself, and we had got into it just a little bit last week, where he says basically that he is the conduit of that gospel message. What does that mean? You know, some of you are a beneficiary of Barbara's good cooking, especially on Sunday morning in her class. When she's doing food, you know, she cooks up a storm. The night before, she'll do some juk, you know, in a crock pot, and all kinds of stuff she'll bake. But you won't see that because you're not living in our home. But you'll see me from the car carrying these things and bringing it to the room, setting it up. And if you would say, oh, Pastor Dan, what good food you made for us, you would be wrong, because I can barely boil water, because I can't cook at all. I am the conduit of carrying good food to your class. That's it. The Apostle Paul was a conduit of bringing the gospel message to people. And in that context, I want to share with you four thoughts that he states here in this passage. Really cool thought. I love this message because it means so much to me. You see, this is a special calling that Paul had. Let me go with the first thing. He says, you have been set apart. He describes himself. He says, I have been set apart. And he said, I have been set apart in my mother's womb. Can you imagine that? To be so set apart. There it is, as you were conceived. And I don't care what this country or this world talks about conception. As you were conceived, God begins to put the DNA together about who you are. A little bit of this. The Y and the X chromosome, is that it? If I'm right or wrong there. You know, all these things, God intricately begins to put you together, setting you apart differently than all the 105 billion people that have ever been born in this earth. He has set you apart. And you are who you are because God has done that in your mother's womb. That's what he did for the Apostle Paul. And Paul said, he set me apart in my mother's womb. You are so special. I don't know if you and I can really understand that, you know? I want to tell you, I'm number 6 in a family of 7 kids. And my family was so poor in Hong Kong, there's no way I was planned, okay? There's no way. I know I was an accident, along with my other sister after me. We're both accidents. There's no way a poor family who can't feed the first 5 kids is going to have another one. Maybe my mom, it was an accident. But not in God's mind. He set me apart. Just like every little baby that's in your wombs right now, God has set that little baby apart, intricately making him and creating him or her. What does that mean? That means he doesn't make a mistake. I was reading up on Beethoven. Probably, maybe, perhaps the greatest composer of all time. His greatest works fits into the 9 symphonies that he put together. But did you know that he was kind of deaf? And he got more and more deaf as he got older? And toward the end, he was totally deaf, we're told. At least that's what I read. In fact, one of his greatest, the 2 greatest symphonies, is symphonies number 5, the 5th symphony, and the 9th symphony. The 9th symphony, it is said that he was totally deaf. He can't hear anything that he's composing. But yet, what great music. We all recognize it. You play anything from the 9th symphony, you're going to recognize it. Worldwide, billions of people know him, and this is what God has done. Say, God, did you make a mistake? Why did you make him deaf? Why didn't you make him like perfect in every way so he can do even more? Well, God has his plans. And so when you look in the mirror next time and you see some deformity, you think your eyes are a little farther wide, you know, your ears big, or whatever else you think about yourself, God set you apart. It's not like he set you apart in the billions of... No, every single person has been set apart. You are so special. You're not just one of many. One of the things that, you know, we find when we look at communist countries and so forth and socialist countries, a lot of times they don't do that. Everything is the same. If you ever went to an apartment building in Moscow, and you went to another apartment building in Kamchatka and on the Pacific coast, the other side, you will find the same buildings. In fact, we're told that during the days before Perestroika, when a parent or have children, they're only allowed to give certain names. There may be 5 names. That's why you always see Sasha or Alexander. You always see Zhenya or Evgeny. You always see the same names. And sometimes even in one family, if they have a lot of children, there are 2 with the same names. You're not allowed to pick other names. Not God. God doesn't want you to be the same. You are different. Especially set apart. Keep that in mind whenever you get yourself in a place where you're just down on yourself. Or keep that in mind when you look at your children and say, why can't they give me someone else, you know? Keep that in mind. Second thought here. And this is from verse 15. You and I have been called. Paul said, I have been called. God set me apart and I have been called. What does that mean? Well, this weekend is a big weekend for a lot of people in America, in case you don't know. It is the National Fantasy Football Weekend. I never mentioned it before, but I did win the last 2 years, just saying. And yesterday was the National Fantasy Football Day, in which you get together. If you don't know the game, I won't explain it to you here. You can just come into my office. I have two trophies there. You can look at them. I'll tell you about it. And you pick players. Now, if you're a sports fan, and especially a football fan, you might have even seen something else. Once a year, there is what is called the draft, or the college player gets picked. And they go to a place, they used to go to Radio City Music Hall, and this year they went somewhere else. And all these you know, football stars in college will come to it, and the families will be there, and they're sitting there, they dress like, you know, all kinds of stuff, whatever, tuxedos and all, and they're just so, like, nervous. They're sitting there. And the first pick, they'll name a name, and the guy will be called, and oh my goodness, the guy will come up, he'll be embraced, everybody's cheering for him, and it goes on and on like that. Can you imagine if you were called to something like that? I want you to understand something. You are. God has called you. You know, you're not just that person, you know, where nobody knows. You're not just a person in a crowd. God has a calling for you. He calls you out. I think it's really important for us to know that. Sometimes we just think, you know, we live life and we live life kind of whatever comes. You know, somehow I live in Houston, or somehow I got this job. Somehow I'm in this family. I have a few friends here and there. I went to this school. You know, there's nothing special about anything. I'm just me. Well, you'd be wrong. God sees you as very special. Because he set you apart. He made you the way you are. And God has a special plan for you. And he's called you out. You got to hear it. You got to hear it, though. Can you imagine that guy sitting in a stadium or auditorium, wherever, and they call him, pick number two, such and such. And the guy, just sitting around doing nothing, on the phone with somebody else, didn't hear. That would be pretty embarrassing. The camera's on him and all, right? You know, God has called you to some phenomenal things. I hope you heard him. I don't know if you have. If you haven't, you got to tune in, man. You got to tune in to the voice of God. God speaks to us. He speaks to us through the Word of God. He speaks to us. We share with you, Bob and I, how we came to Houston. Just out of the blue, you know. But God spoke to my heart. I specifically know the date and the day, the time, the moment which God spoke Houston into my heart. Heard his calling. Have you heard his calling? If you have never heard God's calling, if you've never heard his voice in your life, you want to. You want to go before him in prayer. You want to sit before him and just listen to him and say, Lord God, I hear you in your word. You've spoken to me about these things. I know you made me special. There's something very special about me that you made. It might not be this and that and that. It could be something that I don't even know about. I want to know. I want to know, and I want to hear you calling. Paul said, I've been called. Now, the third thing connects with this. It's still, in verse 15 and 16, you have a special purpose in this calling. You know, Paul, when he was Saul, lived in a certain time during the Roman Empire. You know, you go back to the Old Testament, you find all these prophets, all these great men and women of God, you will find very few, in fact, maybe only one prophet, Jonah, who ministered beyond the Jewish confine, beyond the Israelites. Man, he went to Nineveh, Gentile city, wicked city. Remember, he saved them. God spared them because of Jonah. But during that time, that doesn't happen, you know. It was all about Israel. It was all about the Jews and in Jerusalem and so forth. It's all about that until now. When the old Roman Empire was about halfway through its peak, it existed about 500 years out of the 1,000 year of reign, just about halfway through its peak. And there is Paul. You know what his purpose is? His purpose was to bring that gospel. Remember the gospel now. You can't change it, or else it's anathema. He's going to bring that gospel to the Gentiles, or the Goyims, those who are not Jewish. Oh, that's unthought of. Who can do that? We never do things like that. It's all about the Jews. Nothing but the Jews. No. Paul was that. And so he was born in the right time. See, God created him, called him out at the right time. And not only that, if you look at his DNA, you'll find that Paul is different than some of the others. Very different. One of the main things is he was a single man. If you're going to go through those missionary journeys, get shipwrecked, stoned to death, beaten, in prison, you don't want to be married. It'd be kind of rough. And there's a whole lot of other things. Articulate, a brilliant mind, you know. All that was not so he can be a Judaizer or Pharisee. No. God made him that way for a specific purpose. Do you know God has a specific purpose for you too? I know there's some Christians that believe that everything is random, anything, you can choose anything, whatever. No, I don't believe so. I believe God made us for a very, very specific purpose. You know, I think about my life, you know, being born in Hong Kong, coming over when I was 7 years old, you know, keeping my Chinese, and yet growing in American society. What was my purpose, you know? Growing up, not too sure, really. But I want to tell you, ask me 15 years ago, 20 years ago, until now, I know my purpose. I know what God has called me to be. If you ask me right now, I'll tell you the same thing, that God has called me to minister to the second generation of immigrants. And God has called me to minister to a multicultural context of a church community. And God has called me to do missions work. I know these three things together combined. I would say that to you 20 years ago. I can say it to you now. And today I die, I know what God has called me. And you and I need to know that. Paul knew that he was going to be the apostle to the Gentiles. That doesn't mean he didn't win Jews to Jesus Christ. He won thousands of them to Jesus Christ. It doesn't mean that he won't, you know, be around the Jewish folks. It doesn't mean that he won't interrelate with them. Absolutely. But his purpose, and he stuck with it, was to minister to the Gentiles. And so after two missionary journeys, you think, Paul, that's enough. Retire now. Write a book, all right? Just stay around. No. Paul said, I have to go on. He goes on. And he continues to do that. See, when you have been set apart as you have been, and you discover who you are, and you have that calling that God has given to you, and he's drawn you out, and you know the purpose that he's given to you, you're never going to end. I know you're tired of me saying the statistics that only 10% of pastors ever retire and stay pastor to the end. But every once in a while, when you find one of them, just love it. Why? Because you know they know their calling. Just about 4 weeks ago, when Pastor Cheng came, 80 years old, some of you met him, those in the Mandarin congregation met him, still ministering at that ripe age of 80. He's now in California somewhere, ministering in churches and conferences all over the place. I remembered him way back in New York when I was just a teenager. He has a calling. He loves it. He loves preaching. He loves teaching. He loves encountering people. He loves sharing the gospel with people who don't know Jesus Christ. He loves that. This is what you do when you know your purpose. And let me tell you something. We in the ministry, and every single one of us here in the church, our goal is not retirement. There's no such thing. in the Christian community. You don't retire. You might retire from your work, secular work. You don't retire. You go on and on and on. You give it every breath you had to run and finish that race until that moment you cross that finish line when you come face to face with Jesus Christ. And you know what he's going to say? He's going to say, well done, good and faithful servant. And that's what happens when you have a calling and live it out. I love the last part of this passage. I love this. And I don't know if you caught it or not. Verse 23 said, they, the Christians, only heard the report, the man, that would be Paul, who formerly persecuted us is now preaching the faith he once tried to destroy. And then verse 24, and they praise God because of me. Wouldn't that be a wonderful honor? Wouldn't that be a wonderful phrase? That people praise God because of you. That people praise God because they met you, because they heard from you, because they encountered you, because of you. Would you pray with me? Father, I want to come before you to thank you so much that you've given us a great calling. Oh, Lord God, each person here has that, we know. You said it. You said it all throughout your word. Lord, you have set us apart. You create us in a way that only we are. And you have called us. Oh, Lord, let us hear your voice. In God, the purpose you have for us, there is none greater. We can't imagine anything better than that. Oh, God. I want to thank you so much. Would you help us make that choice, Lord? Would you help us make that choice? In Jesus' name we pray.